This is London Calling.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
I wish they'd get out of my way.
I love them. I do. Yeah, really do. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yo, it's episode 3 of season 5 with me, yet again, Luke Scanlon, guiding you through this lovely little episode that we have for you. Last time out on the show, we were joined by Harry Jordan, frontman and guitarist of Eads, and he told us about how just before we spoke, he got called over by the local feds.
I had an x-ray today on my tooth, and the guy was like, oh, I haven't seen like a sinus that low. I was like, I've got a broken in my head. I got pulled over by the police. I got pulled over by the police on the way home because I was shitting myself. I was there like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. And I nearly missed the turning, and I was like, shit. So I turned off, but I hear these sirens going off behind me, and I got pulled over for erratic driving, which I don't condone. And my head was just all over the place.
This time out, we are joined by Annabelle Whittle, drummer from the unreal disco-infused legends that are Lime Garden. We also have a gig review of their show at the Social up in London Town. But first off, let's check back in with Bristol Dave. We are coming to you live from the Hampshire headquarters. Dave is down for the weekend, and we are both disgustingly hungover. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. How are you? I've got that hungover.
I think, and considering I got to bed accidentally earlier than you, that's quite a disturbing sign.
Yeah. But funny, like, coming back to yours by myself, and then your dad going, where's Luke? I was like, I've got no idea.
But the fun thing is, I don't know how I made it home before you, and tell the listeners how you got home, Dave, because it's actually quite remarkable. I honestly love the fact that you found my house. No one would ever think of this, because you zoomed, you went on your photo app, looked where your pictures had been taken, and followed that. That's incredible.
It's how my brain works, you know. Sometimes my genius surprises me.
Mate, you would never, ever, ever have done that sober.
No, probably not, no.
God's sake. But it was a good night. We went to a beer festival. And yeah, I woke up this morning to 24 missed calls from Dave, not knowing where I was. But yeah,
normally it's the roles reverse. It's me waking
up exactly. Dave, what do you have? You listened much to the new Blossoms album?
No.
See, I have.
To you, the song you played me yesterday was the first song.
Ribbon Around the Bomb is the name of the album, but that title track, Care For, they're two great tunes, but it's not. It's not as good as previous albums. I think it's album number 4 now, isn't it? Mm. I love Blossoms, but it is very like, yeah, I think you said yesterday it's kind of just geared toward radio plays. And yeah. I think you're right, man, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, it's difficult with these bands when, you know, album 4 is, you know, you've got to go in your own direction or same thing. And the same thing can be boring, but keeps the fans or... It's difficult to find where what is your next direction, really, I think.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I think, also, I think, when did their debut album, that was that 2015? So they've been around...
17.
Yeah, so they've been around for, like, what, 7 years now. Yeah, so I wonder about bands, if they just get... Because they've had really good success, obviously, Blossoms, but I wonder if they get in, like, a bit of a groove
sometimes
where they kind of overthink what they're doing.
I feel, though, like, it makes you realise, like, classic rock bands. It's like,
classic rock.
It's insane that they... released like countless albums which has seemed as classic. Like,
yeah.
You know, bands nowadays, I don't think there's many that release amazing album after amazing album.
Yeah.
They sort of age. I think we sort of grow out of things so quickly nowadays. But, you know, things like Rolling Stones and Beatles, they can release 10 albums and everyone thinks they're amazing.
Yeah. But, well, if you think about particularly people who are like classed as solo artists, even though they have a band, Bowie, man, like,
yeah,
didn't
Bowie,
really
yeah,
ever
exactly.
release a bad album. And, like, yeah, I'm biased because I love him the bits, but Paul Weller
I mean, some of the 90s stuff for Bowie is not great.
Yeah, yeah, true. Bowie in the 90s can get fucked, actually. But, like, Weller, he never releases anything less than kind of it's at least a 6 out of 10 album. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's very consistent. But, yeah, it's interesting. I wonder, because we've spoken to a lot of bands, haven't we, on here, and it's kind of, like, weird how releases aren't necessarily a big thing now, really. Because they're just always there on Spotify.
Yeah,
I actually miss so many releases, by the way. Because they've started releasing on like a Wednesday, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah, like some bands release on a Wednesday or a Thursday. It's obviously,
it is weird. Why do you have to release on a Friday? I don't understand.
It's just, I think that's just, it's the old industry chart day, isn't it?
Industry, baby.
Yeah, industry, man. I mean, it's just the old chart day, isn't it? So they just release later in the week. So yeah. It's quite a nice day to wake up and have your Spotify Friday. Just release radar, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Dave, have you got a little graze on your knee there?
I don't know.
It's almost like you had a pint last night.
God.
Lovely. It's a juicy one. Right, coming up on this episode, we will be speaking to a very lovely lady, Annabelle Whittle from Lime Garden. Dave, by the way, I think this is the I did say this to Annabelle. I think it's the first ever drummer we've had on the show.
Yeah.
Would you concur?
I'm racking my brains.
Yeah. Because I asked her a question. I was like, Joe, I think you're the first drummer we've had. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, that's really weird. I don't think we've ever had a drummer on.
It's funny, they like, you go for a band, you just think of the main person.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Drummer's usually the freak in the back, but she's actually really smart.
Like, if I was going to be in a band, I'd be a drummer. 100%.
Yeah, it's because you're a freak, Dave.
Yeah.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Yes, this is my chat with the brilliant Annabelle Whittle, drummer from Lime Garden. I'm sick, and I'm tired. Need to find a way. Annabelle Whittle, thank you for coming to Big Smoke Music Weekly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Beautiful. I'm all right. So this season, Annabelle, I've started off asking each artist, what did you have for breakfast today? And I'm starting to think that musicians don't eat breakfast because...
Oh, I do, yeah.
Oh, thank Christ for that because I was getting a bit worried. What did you have for breakfast in that case?
So I had a bagel, but I had it with this cheese that I brought back. We were playing in France the other day, and they have this cheese over there called Madame Loic, which is like whipped salted cream cheese. It's literally like crack. Like, I don't think I've ever eaten anything better. So I had that on a bagel with some eggs. It's pretty good.
Holy shit. That sounds incredible.
It's so good. I just ate some out of a spoon before I got on this call, actually. It's literally so addictive.
Yeah. After we chat, can you link me up? Send me the link to that cheese.
Well, you can't get it in the UK. So that's the problem.
Oh, shit. So you've...
In France.
How did you travel, by the way? Because I'm just picturing you with a massive coat with it, like, in pockets in the lining of the jacket. You know what I mean?
We got the Eurotunnel, so it was fine. I brought loads of cheese back. But the car stunk. Like, we all bought loads of cheese and it was just, it was
amazing. Absolutely love it. Went over to France and just came back stanking a cheese. Love
stanking it. Stanking a cheese. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Also, next question. What is your outfit? I absolutely rate. Do you know what? I really wanted to buy one of those hats, the Kangol berets.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a flat cap. So this way around, it's not very cool. Some old man. But this way around, it's better.
It's just serious Samuel Jackson vibes.
Exactly.
What a ledge, man. Rate the outfit. I mean, I would talk about mine, but I've just been for a bike ride. By the way, I was bricking it. I was like, fuck, why did I agree to 7:30? I didn't realise the time. And I was like, absolutely bombing it. You should have seen the state of me when I got in. I've got PJ bottoms on and a hoodie. Rock and roll.
Gotta do it.
loving it. Right then, Annabelle, let's actually talk about music, because that's what we're here for. You're probably thinking, who the fuck is this guy I'm talking to? I've been a fan, I can't remember how long, I always say this to every artist I speak to, I can't remember how long I've been listening to you for now, but I think, honestly, Sick and Tired last year was one of my tracks of the year. I absolutely played that tune to death, man. because obviously, you're building up a big reputation at the moment and like kind of building up and more releases and stuff. Have you got a standout track yet?
What, that I prefer it or...
That you kind of think that's our kind of not, I don't want to give it that bad a label, but that's our Mr. Brightside.
I don't know, I'd probably think Pulp is our I guess Sick and Tired's our most popular song, but I think Pulp probably my favourite one. I just think it's the coolest.
Yeah, fair play. I do like that. Because I think that song kind of typifies what you sound like the most, because it's got that kind of marching sound to it, and it's quite percussion. Well, I know the bass line in that is like fucking front and centre, but your percussion's quite a big thing, isn't it, with Lime Garden?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously I'm the drummer, so I'm going to say that.
Exactly. Yeah, percussion's best, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it is. I think we all like music that you can dance to, so I guess drums, bass are like intrinsic in that.
Yeah, fair play. Is that quite a lot of what you listen to? Not that you're like strictly D&B, I'm talking, but do you listen to those? Yeah, man.
Straight D&B, yeah.
To be fair, a can go at a D&B event, that would go down well, man.
It probably would, yeah. Someone would probably nick it.
Yeah, it would. So is that 10, is that, do you listen to that sort of music as well, stuff that will kind of get you moving, that style?
Yeah, we all listen to a bit of dance music, a lot of like the India kind of stuff, like Hot Chip and stuff like that, you know, that sort of line between electronic and indie, I guess. Yeah
nice. Do you know, I've spoken to Dave, who I do the Bristol Dave, who I do the podcast with. We've spoken quite a lot because we always talk about, like, oh, the good old days of, like, the 70s. Not that we were there. But we always say, like, we reckon the only kind of slightly subculture thing we've had is, like, that new rave era of, like, 2007. You know, when you had, like, New Young Pony Club and Klaxons and bands like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Were you a big fan of that kind of growing up?
Well, I'll be honest, I would have been about 6 or 7 when that was coming.
I mean, you could have
out.
Been a rock and roll kid. That's what I'm talking about.
To be honest, when I was 6, I was listening to Enya. That's the truth of it. Like, I didn't have the internet, so I just had, like, my brother's CD collection, which was really weird. So it was a lot of Enya, yeah.
Sail away.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, I'm real. I want to talk to you about Marbles. This kind of ties in with the whole, like, dancing thing. Obviously, you are the percussion of the band. That when I first heard that tune, I was like, this sounds like a really great disco tune.
Well, we all love disco music as well. And Tippy's dad, Tippy, who plays bass, her dad was in a disco band in the 70s. And they have this, like, iconic photo of them all with, like, dagger collars and, like, you know, the sort of glow. And they kind of look like the Bee Gees. So I guess disco is in her blood, and we're all really into disco too. So
that's amazing. What would I know the disco band?
No, I don't think they. I don't even know what they're called. I don't think you'd know them, but they were like, they were kind of popping off in the '70s, I think, in the '80s.
Yeah.
But
Joe, is it possible to not sound like a shit '70s radio DJ by saying disco band? It's really hard. I can't do it. But yeah, go back to Marbles. It's such a good song because it kind of, like, to me, it sounds like a song about, like, an inner conflict, but then it's weirdly got, like, a very happy sound to it. It's very, like, a song that kind of is doing this and not kind of, yeah. Do you know what I mean? But it works.
It definitely, yeah. I mean, we had that song. We've been sitting on that song for ages. Like I first started writing it in, like, the very first lockdown. When I literally felt like I was going insane. And then I sent it to Chloe and she added, like, the verses. And it felt like, I guess it feels like two different kind of moods. Like, the verses are really, like, moody and the chorus is a bit more, like, happy. And I guess, and for ages, we couldn't figure out how to do it. Like, we couldn't get the song sounding the way we wanted. And so I guess there is that element of, like, it feels like it's pulling and pushing a bit.
Fair play. Yeah. And obviously, I've seen you once before supporting KTJ Pearson.
When was that?
That was in Southampton at Heartbreakers.
Heartbreakers, yeah,
great,
I remember.
Great set, man. Because my brother came with me to that, and, like, he how old is my brother now? He's 3 years old than me. He's like 32, 33. No, he's not. I tell you a lie. He's 31. And he's one of these people, Annabelle, that's like, oh, yeah, I might come to a gig. Who are they? He's never usually heard them. And then he saw you and he's like, fuck me, I'm gone. Good. But yeah, so you just talked, well, you toured with KTJ Pearson, and then you've also been touring with Sunflower Bean. You've had some, like, real, yeah, like, big names that you've been supporting with. Does that kind of, I'm always intrigued as to, obviously, different sounds to you guys completely, but does that kind of
being with that kind of talent rub off on you on the road, do you think?
It definitely, yeah, I think like in January, like we really didn't play many shows because we were supposed to be going on a tour and then it got moved. And we were saying like, actually touring like does actually make, like inspire you quite a lot because you're just watching like Sun Fabian, for example, I watched like basically every night of the tour. So I watched them like 10 times. And like, it does inspire you because you see them, how they do things, and they do things slightly different to you. And I don't know, just like little bits and pieces, you definitely pick up on it. And the same with KCJ Pearson. Yeah, it's like a learning experience each time, I think.
Nice, yeah. I mean, Sunflower Bee live, just so, so good.
Yeah, they're insane. Like, and how they get that like fat sound with like three of them was quite like cool to watch like every night.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to think of a better way of describing it. It was just fucking cool.
Yeah.
They are just fucking cool. Yeah. And it, obviously, you were saying there about touring, how it is kind of like, not your bread and butter, but it kind of, yeah, it gives you that inspiration. You've got, I think you've got Dot to Dot and Great Escape coming up. Then yeah, the show in London as well. So how, it must be, I said this to our last guest, Eads, because they were just on tour when I spoke to them. It must be really exciting after the, a weird period of not doing a lot.
Yeah, it's like, it's just like, none of us can still wrap our heads around like the extreme highs and lows of doing this. Like, we'll be going, like the Sunflower Beam was just like so exciting, like the whole tour was just insane, doing things with like going to places we've never been before, and like it was just so funny. And then like literally the day I got back from tour, I had to go back to work like at 9 a.m. the next day, and I was just like, god, this really is just really, it's just showing me the whole ups and downs of life. And it's just, yeah, so depressing. We got back and I was like, oh, wish I could do this for my full-time job. But yeah, I think we all felt that way.
I know what I mean. It's the only way I can relate to that, Annabelle, is having a very nice trip away, a nice holiday, and then that, yeah, alarm goes off and you feel, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's kind of like a holiday because we're all like best friends. Yeah. And then we're also getting paid to do it. And like the adrenaline of playing as well on top of that is just like insane. And then like just the drop down afterwards is like, we're all still trying to like process that because it's quite hard to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was wanted to ask actually, Annabelle, right? Because I think you might be the first drummer we've had on in five seasons. Yeah, in five seasons. That's quite incredible. By the way, I'm such a vain prick, right? I've got one of these like halo lights, and for some reason it's gone into like ultra mode.
Is the sun shining on you or something?
I'm going like see through. I'm just going to try and turn this bloody thing down. So yeah, I was going to ask because obviously you notice it more when you see a band live, just how important the drummer is, because it's basically it's the skeleton of a set, isn't it? Do you feel nervous before playing, or I think you've been playing from like a stupidly young age, if I'm right?
Yeah, I started drumming when I was like 7 or something, like, but that was doing like pipe band drumming, so because I'm from Scotland, and then I didn't get into like kit drumming until I was 9 or something. But like, I still get like ridiculously nervous before every single show. Like, I get so nervous. We all do. We all get like, you should come into the green room. It's we're all just like, oh.
Is it pure silence or is it like jittery?
No, it's not. It's never silent. It's like, to be honest with you, like Chloe and I, we're just farting, to be honest. Tippy, she feels sick. Layla's just like, yesterday Layla's like fingers went like white with nerves. It's like, it's chaotic.
Having a pure meltdown before coming on stage.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Love it. So do Lime Garden have like an anthem to get them up for the first show? Is there like a little pre-gig ritual that you all do?
Recently, like on the Sunflower Bean tour, we did a lot of listening to like Motley Crue before we went on. Just like stick on a Motley Crue song or a Guns N' Roses song, some sort of like disgusting hair metal, like, and then just like sort of do, I don't know, press ups or like, I don't know, not press ups, but you know.
Do like loads of like sports guy chest bumps.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Like, ooh, yeah. That kind of gets us in the mood to rock. We don't have like a ritual that is the same every time though, but I would say that is probably the most.
Well, I feel like there might be one born out of your love of French cheese.
Yeah, although I don't know if cream cheese before going on stage is a good idea, to be honest with you. I think
that's a way to clear out a venue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you say, like, pre-match nerves, as it were, they're worse? Because obviously I saw you at Heartbreakers, which is basically the size of my front room.
Mm.
That's quite a big front room, actually. That's a ridiculous statement. Are the nerves worse when you're in a smaller venue like that? Or
yes.
Because you kind of project yourself onto a bigger room, can't you, I guess?
Yeah, like we were saying, like we played when we supported Idols in January. That was at Brixton, which was like the biggest venue we've ever played, ever. But like for that one, I know I certainly felt way less nervous than normal, I guess, because it's just like so much to process. And like you can't, there's so many people, you couldn't like focus on one face. Whereas when you're playing somewhere really small, you know, people are right there.
Big Smoke Music Weekly. Okay, time now for a bit of close-up 60 seconds action. Close-up 60 seconds. This is how I got on when I caught up with Simple Fiction. Well, I'm currently joined by James from Simple Fiction. We might have Carlos. We never know. He might decide to turn up. He just came on to the Zoom call and was frozen. And I was saying, James, just to you then, whenever I freeze on a call, I look outrageous, but he looks all right.
Yeah, well, that's just Carlos, you know. He looks great, whatever the situation.
We have him entering the room again. Let's see how we get on.
Hi.
Hello. You all right?
Sorry, guys, my internet is really bad, as you can probably experience already.
That's all good. We've got Carlos in the room. We've just started, Carlos, so it's fine. I was just about to say, because I always do it like when I'm searching you guys up, doing a bit of reading about you last night, I searched Carlos Simple Fiction and it just came up with loads of Soy Carlos.
Yeah, well, it's weird because Soy means I am in Spanish, but it also means soy, doesn't it? As in soy milk.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, wow, I'm going back to GCSE Spanish without even knowing what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't quite think that one through, you know, when I decided to be called that, but there you go.
I was just going to say as well, because I was listening to your Final Days of a Phase EP, there's proper high production on that EP. Do you guys look after that side of things yourself?
Well, it's collaborative, I think. We did it all like with producers and stuff as well, but I think because we did that over lockdown as well, we had about 6 months just to keep editing it past the point where it probably we should have stopped, but I think we're happy with the end result, but it's definitely we put as much attention, too much probably, into it, but we're happy with it. Thanks for listening.
Sounds great, what have you guys been working on of late? What's like 2022 looked like so far for you guys?
It's been quite busy on like a underlying layer at the minute, so publicly we've just been doing gigs and having a fun time, but we have been recording quite a bit in bulk over the past few months, so hopefully in the next month or so we shall have another single to come out, and then maybe a little tour.
Beautiful. So, yeah. Well, because this is the third episode of our new season, and we did the last one in like December. I think it's the same thing for everyone, and we even said in episode one, yeah, sorry we've been away for a while. We've actually just been enjoying our lives because everything's back to normal and we can actually get on and do stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we've been enjoying our lives and worrying. 50-50. Same amount of each.
Yeah, enjoying with anxiety bubbling underneath. Nice.
Yeah, there you go.
That's just a good tagline for Simple Fiction, I think.
Exactly. Well, guys, if you're ready, we'll get into the 60 seconds. So, the first one is the best biscuit to dunk in a cuppa and why? Go.
I'm going to jump in. Controversially, it's custard cream. It's very hard to get in it. But then if you get it right, it's like, I don't know, it's like, it's liquid, it's solid. I don't know. I got really into that recently. That's going to get a lot of hate, I can tell, but...
Mate, custard cream, that is not one thing you should be putting in a cup of tea.
Well, give it a go. Don't knock it.
It's just creamy, man. Why would you want a creamy cup of tea? What's that all about?
It's like a little milkshake and a biscuit. It's great.
No, all the people that work at Yorkshire Tea now are like, is he fucking joking? We're making a lot of cup of tea.
I went through a massive digestive phase, but yeah, these days I'm a custard cream guy.
Mate, you're one risky dunker, because digestives, they flake up pretty quickly, man.
Oh, yeah, no, but, you know, it's a bit of a mess if you don't get the timing right. It's just...
You get all the lumps at the bottom.
Yeah, you don't want to get to the bottom. It's a skill.
Carlos, what are you dunking, just out of curiosity?
I would never dunk anything in my tea because I don't drink tea. That is even more controversial, isn't it?
I'm cancelling the interview. I've had enough of this.
I think you should. I actually have a very intense, I wouldn't say hate, but I really dislike tea. So
are you a coffee man?
Yeah, coffee all the way. Yeah.
So you look like a suave coffee drinker with those. You got some great frames on there, my friend. I could see you in a real swanky coffee shop, just like tutting at everyone.
Yeah.
Cool. Number two, guys, is what one person would you add to the band's lineup?
Oh.
Oh no.
The time is really ticking it.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Jeff Goldblum.
What?
I know that's not a team answer. That's just for me. But I was panicking. I think he's great.
I'm just getting the impression that Simple Fixing are that perfect. Because judging by the way you were looking around, you're like, we don't need anyone else.
I guess, you know what, that's probably a good sign, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Jeff Goldblum would be a laugh.
Nice. But you know, just for the record, guys, you are up to 26 seconds, and that's two questions.
Great. We're doing great, yeah.
Let's just not think about it.
Yeah. Number three is, if your music was a drink, which one would it be? Go.
Pina colada, surely?
Yeah, go for it. Why not?
No.
Carlos, the way you like really frowned, I don't know what I was anticipating, but you really look serious now. I know it. Pina colada.
Well, I mean, yeah, like what else could it be, really? If you think about it, seriously.
Yeah, it'd have like a really sad umbrella on it, but it would be quite fruity.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm actually crying. That actually brought a tear to my eye. Not because I thought it was emotional, we're just laughing so much.
but it is emotional, though. Like, it is quite emotional because, like, you know, it's like a sad pina colada. It's great. It's sad but happy, you know?
Carlos, if and when I meet you, I'm sure I will at some point. If I'm not crying, holding a pina colada, being hugged by you, I'll be fuming.
Great, I think it should be. Oh, you should definitely try my pina coladas, man. They're really good.
It here first on Big Smoke Music Weekly. Carlos's pina coladas are one for the road. Okay, next up, you're doing well. You're on 31 seconds, so out of nowhere you pulled it back. So this one is, what song is always, so you've both got to jump in here, what song is always on your mental jukebox? Go.
Tied Up Right Now by The Parcels.
Nice. James, what have you got?
Well, it's pretty similar. I think that's the one.
That was the answer for both of us.
Yeah.
Fair play. Okay.
We're smashing this game, Luke. We're going to make it.
You're smashing it, man. You're smashing it. This last one is, I tell a joke and you've both got to not laugh for 5 seconds.
Okay. Wow.
And just a warning, it's a fucking terrible dad joke. So.
Okay. I can't wait.
Okay. Ooh. Right. Here's the joke. A ham sandwich walks into a bar and orders a beer. The bartender leans over and says, "Sorry, we don't serve food here." And you're clear. But you both just look pissed off. You both just look fuming.
It was good. That was a good one.
Fuck off, sandwich. But brilliant. And that's it. You beat the buzzer, guys. You're clear, man. You're clear.
That was a bit tense. Perfect. In the middle there.
Well, that was a bit tense. I didn't know where it was going at one point, but you did well.
That is the first time we've ever won anything.
There you go. Who needs a Brit Award when you've beaten Close Up 60 Seconds?
Yeah, there you go.
James and Carlos there from Simple Fiction. A reminder that Close Up Festival is later on this month. Finally upon us. Friday 20th to Sunday 22nd of May. Tickets over at Dice FM and more info over at closeuppromo.com. Check it out.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Let's have a bit of either or fun with Annabelle Whittle.
Right, if you're ready, Annabelle, we'll get into either ors, if you're ready.
Yes,
for that. This is just quick fire, so you've got to go bang, straight into it. Okay, this one's quite key. Bite into a Twix or eat the caramel, then the biscuit.
Bite into a Twix.
Oh, you're an animal. You've got.
Although I don't really like Twixes, so.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, I don't dislike them. I never buy one.
You never wake up and think, I'm going to buy a Twix today?
No, I don't think I've ever bought a Twix, actually.
You've never brought a Twix?
I don't think so. I don't.
That's insane.
There's a whole world of chocolate bars out there. Why would you pick a Twix? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if I can listen to Lime Garden again. What's your favourite chocolate bar then?
Oh, I love a Boost.
Boost are great.
Or Galaxy Caramel.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones straight out of the celebration box, aren't they, at Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. And are we agreeing that bounties are left behind?
What? Bounties?
Bounties, yeah.
No, I love a bounty. Literally love a bounty. I love a dark chocolate bounty as well. I love dark chocolate, yeah. Sorry about that one.
This is just getting worse. Okay, number two, gig or festival?
Festival.
Festival, cool. Every person who said festival is because they like going to watch other bands for free.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, that is the main reason. And also just the vibes.
Yeah, interesting. Because the one person that said gig, that was Eads last week, said they prefer a gig because at a festival you feel like you're rushed a lot.
I don't agree with that. I feel like so relaxed. You only play for half an hour and then you're normally there for like 3 days. It's like the chillest. You don't get to sound check, but like no one does. So
just hung over to shit, play your set.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Number tres is, God, I'm so Spanish, beer or wine?
Wine, actually, yeah.
Really? Interesting. Red or white, though?
White, yeah. Red makes me thirsty.
So, yeah, I have that. I get really hot ears when I have red wine.
Yeah, same.
Do you get that?
Same. Yeah. There's a time and a place for red wine. A Sunday night, you know, night in, red wine. Going out, nah, can't be red wine, got to be white, yeah.
Got to ask, Annabelle, are you weird like me, and this is very weird, do you enjoy watching Antiques Roadshow on a Sunday?
No, I've actually never watched Antiques Roadshow.
That's okay. Number four is ketchup or brown sauce?
Oh, mayonnaise. I don't like either, sorry.
To be fair, the pure look of disgust on your face then, when I was, oh, fuck off, mate. Mayonnaise every day. To be fair, mayo, it diversifies. You can chuck some curry powder in there, a bit of sriracha.
A bit of mustard, a bit of garlic. It's great. Mayo is better than every other sauce, hands down.
Jesus, that's quite a passionate manifesto there.
Very passionate
mayonnaise.
About mayonnaise, yeah.
Whoa. Okay, and last one. I think I know which one you're going to go for. Acoustic or electric?
Electric?
Yeah, Bosch. Knew it. Read you like a book.
Yeah, so predictable.
Big Smoke Music Weekly in partnership with Sound On. This week, I need to tell you all about a vlog from the K's and their brilliant gig down at Manchester's Albert Hall. What a venue, by the way. I've been told, big news, that this is a proper banging show and there is a brilliant chat with the boys straight after to check out as well. Head over to Sound on YouTube, Sound On, all one word, as always, to check that out now. And plus, the K's are on tour. They're playing in London on 14th of May. There will also be a video from Sound On up on their YouTube channel. That's the K's playing at O'Meara in London. Click like and subscribe over at Sound On now. Big Smoke Music Weekly in partnership with Sound On. Heartbreaking times. Here is the last part of my chat with Annabelle Whittle from Lime Garden. Cool. Well, Annabelle, last little bit of the interview. How have you found it so far?
Yeah, good. Funny.
Good times. I'd love it if you went, do you know what? It's been fucking terrible.
Yeah. End the call now.
Yeah. Worst thing, you've got a shit light that makes you look like a ghost, and I don't know what's going on. I wanted to ask, because we did just mention off air there, that you kind of are based in Brighton at the moment, but I did read something. So were you in Edinburgh then for a little bit in Guildford, now you're in Brighton? So
yeah.
What do, because always makes me laugh this. Bands seem to be very like territorial about where they're based. Like, we're a Bristol band, we're a Manchester band. What are Limegarden?
we're all over the shop. Like, none of us are from Brighton. Like, we're from all over the UK. Because, yeah, and then some of us like lived in Guildford for a bit. We went to like college, but like we hated it, so we left. And then like. I mean, we're a Brighton band, but like, I wouldn't be like, yes, Brighton, you know, really lived there for like 3-4 years. So like, yeah, I mean, we're just going with the flow, you know, I wouldn't say we're territorial.
Nice. Joe, the voice you did for Yes, Brighton sounded like a Motley Crue B-side. Yes, Brighton. I'm real. So anyway, tell us, run us through who's in the band, by the way, and what they do.
Oh yeah. So Chloe, she's the singer / guitarist / synth. Then Layla, who's lead guitar, and then Tippy, who's bass, and then me, drums.
Nice, nice. Layla, by the way, fucking great guitarist.
Yeah, insane.
Again, is the benefit of seeing a band live. Didn't really realise until I saw you at Heartbreakers, and I was like, yeah. Fuck.
I always think, like, when I watch Layla play guitar, it, like, doesn't look like... She's like, it looks like her fingers are just like gliding over the guitar. Like, it doesn't look like she's actually playing it, but like, it's so like powerful. I like, she like never breaks a string, so I don't really know how she's doing it.
Yeah,
but...
she'd be a nightmare Guitar Hero. Like, I'd be smashing out a bit of Dragon Force and she'd be like, fuck off, Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. She seems very zen when she's playing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's very zen. Yeah.
Is she the one that is not so nervous backstage before a gig?
Yeah, I would probably the least out of all of us, but she still does get nervous. I often say, like, it's me and Chloe are like the more chaotic side of the band, a bit more just like scatty, and then like Tippy and Layla are way more zen and chill. And like, I think that's a good dynamic, you know. We bring them up, they bring us down, it sort of, it flows nicely. If it was tipped one way or the other, it would be dangerous.
I've got to ask as well, it's been playing on my mind a while, Limegarden. Why Limegarden?
Oh, okay, so we used to be called Lime for like 2 or 3 years. So you might see some people, some original fans walking around with T-shirts that say Lime.
I remember a band called Lime.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Turns out there was another band called Lime that were really famous in the 80s.
No, but I remember you as... I didn't know you were just Lime. I should have put 2 and 2 together, to be honest, but...
Right, yeah, so we used to be called Lime, and then when we signed to So Young, they were like, basically, you're going to have to change your name because of this other band. They might sue you. I mean, they probably will sue you, so just do it now so you don't get sued. And we were like, fuck, okay. And at that point, we'd already released, like, 2 songs, so we had, like, a following. So we were like, well, we better keep the Lime in it and just add something to the end. And like, we spent like a day like in our living room just like trying to figure out what to call ourselves.
Please run me through some of the options that weren't used.
I have a list somewhere. It's on my old phone, but like, well, at first we thought about like changing our name completely and calling ourselves Hotmail, like, you know, like Gmail, Hotmail. But then also like, but then we realized people would type in Hotmail onto Google and just get like hot men, and we were like, we don't really want to be like that, it's bad for Google searches.
Loads of sexy men.
Yeah, we don't really want that. We tried, my mum sent me a list actually on WhatsApp. It was like
amazing.
Lime girls, Lime chicks, Lime ladies, like all of this. It went on. She got like 70 suggestions and they were all quite bad, but bless her. But yeah, we landed on Garden.
So you reckon it took a day to get to Lime Garden?
Probably more than that, probably like 2 or 3, just to think about it. And none of us really liked Limegarden. We were just like, well, we have to call us something. And Limegarden was like available on Spotify. Like, there's other bands called it. And we were like, fuck it. Let's go.
I actually really like Limegarden. It's a great name.
It's grown on me now, yeah. But everyone always asks what the meaning is. And I'm like, there's no meaning.
Because you kind of actually visualise Limegarden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the weird thing. I also wanted to ask you about when I was doing my bloody research for the show. Mm-hmm. It came up about you kind of, and I listened to a bit earlier, your remixes that you do as Anna.
Oh yeah.
So you do like a bit of producing work and stuff, right? Are you kind of, do you oversee that with Limegarden and Is that how that works?
No, I don't do like any of the producing because I'm not good enough, to be honest with you. I just do the remixes for fun, really. But I do like do a lot of the like instrumentation and like synth parts and stuff with Lime. And like in the demos, I'll help produce them. But oh God, I wouldn't even know what to do in a studio with production wise.
It's quite the Andy stuff's quite different. Obviously, it is remixes, so it would be different anyway, and just by default. But do you drive quite a bit of the sound of Lime Garden?
I like to think so.
It seems like you've got quite an experimental side to you.
Yeah, and I'm probably most into like the sort of electronic-y kind of stuff, I guess, maybe. So I guess when we do demos, I often add a lot of that. Like when we demoed Clockwork for the first time, like I put in the like the vocal glitches and stuff like that. So I guess, yeah, I do drive that side of it, but I can also get carried away. So I have to be... Leaned in a bit.
Fucking hell, she's off on one again.
Yeah, too many 808s, god damn it.
Yeah, could someone bring her down for fuck's sake? Nice. So I was going to ask this question, right? I thought of this question the other day because in my day job, as I mentioned before we start recording, I work for Talk Sport and I booked Boy George to come on the other day.
Oh, wow.
Weirdly, you wouldn't imagine Boy George being on Talk Sport, but it happened. It was really good. And he came on and he started talking about how things had changed in music. Obviously, early 80s, he broke through. And he was saying how he gets, not annoyed, but he was like, any artist who says they try and do anything different now is completely stupid and lying to themselves. Because he's like, and he said, he gave an example of Harry Styles. He's like, that he's just doing Mick Jagger. So do you guys kind of look at that, because I'm always intrigued about, because I kind of think that as well, because it's kind of hard to come up with new stuff and a new sound. Do you guys sit around and think like that, or do you just say like, we'll borrow a bit of this, borrow a bit of that, and then put in a like a little flick of Lime Garden kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it is hard to come up with new stuff now because literally everything has been done. But I think we all have so many different musical influences that definitely I feel like our music is like a melting pot of stuff, and then it's kind of got this like seal of like Lime Gardenness that kind of ties it together. But like, you know, I don't know, I think you can hear it through all of our songs. Like, you know, like Surf and Turf, we were really into like psyche rock at that time, Fever Roof, disco, like Sick and Tired, really into stuff like lo-fi indie. Like, so you can, our attentions like seem to just get swung all the time, but I guess that's kind of makes it interesting, I hope, to people.
Nice. And you mentioned earlier, obviously, the come down, coming back to tour, going back to work. Do you reckon doing it full time, that is what Lime Garden being success looks like to you?
Yes, 100%. If we could do that full time, Mike, that's literally all of our dreams. We talk about it literally every single day.
Nice. Well, I was going to ask, just because like most people listening obviously probably aren't in a band, how hard is that for a band to be able to do that now?
So hard. Yeah.
Is it?
Like making money is really, really hard. The band, like even cutting, even from going from a tour, going on tour is like really hard. So it sometimes feels like we're chasing an impossible dream, but... got to keep trying, and hopefully, you know, maybe Harry Styles takes us on tour or whatever, you know.
Exactly. It's a great dream. You're making me happy by chasing that dream, so keep doing it. I just wanted to end, Annabelle, on the fact that, like, because I was just scrolling through like your Instagram earlier, not your specific Instagram, Lime Garden Instagram. I was really stalking you earlier. You have a fantastic array of sunglasses as a band.
Yeah, we do love our sunglasses. I actually recently picked up, let's see if I've got them here. Oh, yeah. This pair of, they're like fishing goggles. So they're for fishermen. But like, I wore them last night at the gig, and they're quite good because you can't really see people's faces. So it makes me less nervous. But also, they look quite cool. But
those with the Kangol hat, absolutely. Yeah. It's a look, man. That is one hell of a look.
We all love sunglasses, so...
By the way, the way you grabbed those out of the bag, it was like, I was transported them back to, like, an eight-year-old on Blue Peter. Here's one I made earlier.
Yeah, literally, I was thinking that as I did it. It just happened to be there.
Unreal. Well, Annabelle, thanks ever so much for joining us for a chat.
No worries, thanks for having me.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Well, Dave, there it is, our chat there with Annabelle Whittle from Lime Garden.
Whittle by Whittle.
I might do a whole episode in that voice one day. Did you sing Widow by Widow? Shocking. Annabelle will be listening to this now thinking, I'm glad I didn't have Dave talking to me as well. Who is that fucking weirdo? He should have been a drummer. But yeah, man, obviously we went to go see them in London the other night, a few nights ago from, well, 2 nights ago from recording, at the Social. Dave, run me through what you think of the Social as a venue.
I like it, the fact it's a central London and it's still running. I think it's a very old venue, but you can tell it's old because the layout is shocking. It's so bad. Like, it's small in normal circumstances and then half of it is tables and chairs. It just doesn't make sense. Like, you're crammed in there.
Yeah.
Like, we you went to me and was like, should we... It's a bit quieter down the front. Should we sort of mosey on down to the front?
I'm
like, yeah, right. We walk round and like, oh, that's just tables and chairs.
I saw like the seas parting. Yeah. I was like, whoa, Dave, there's loads of space. Yeah, literally, there's people having a fucking cocktail. Sat down next to the stage.
I think it's obviously an old venue, and I think like we chatted about it. Saying it's obviously was a bar and like I don't know music venue. Before it, you know, gigs got packed, so it's kind of like being a bit outgrown. But I guess it's kept the same ambiance and sort of layout that it was. I bet, like, you know, like loads of 60s band players there, and it made sense to have tables and chairs because that's what you used to do at gigs. Nowadays, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we were saying that, weren't we? It was when you see old footage, it's always people sat down.
Yeah,
I love that. I would love to go to one of those old jazz bars. You know, when it's like the little lamp on your table.
Yeah,
I'd love that, man.
There's a Is it the Jazz Cafe in Camden? Have you even been there?
Never been there.
And it's like upstairs, it's all seating, and you have like a meal whilst you're watching the gig.
That's cool.
Like, I love that idea. That's
have you been there?
Yeah.
Oh, nice one, man. When was our date night then?
What?
When was our date night going there? Are you cheating on me with your girlfriend?
Not coming at me.
But yeah, my favourite part of the whole evening was when me and Dave met up. By the way, I'm slagging off Sam Smith pubs. I've had enough of them. We used to go to them because they were cheap. Fucking joke. You have to sell a lung to afford a pint in there. But anyway, Dave got the first round when we met up. Red Lion on Kingly Street near Carnaby. And Dave got the first round in and he came back. He's like, Dave, you look like you've just seen a ghost. He's like, yeah, they've just charged me nearly 14 quid for 2 pints.
I mean, it's ridiculous that I didn't question it straight up. Like, that's how ridiculous it is now that they charged me almost £14 for 2 pints, and I just paid it without question. And then I sort of walked away. I was like, that was a lot.
That was a lot. My favourite thing, because you did get the refund, but my favourite thing, you went up and there was like a wall chart of the prices.
Yeah.
And you were there with your finger. You were there with your finger, going across.
I did like the old lady that your mother does when she looks at something, like squinting your eyes at. Yep, that's that.
Anyway, I think it's fair to say, the guy behind the bar was thick as shite, wasn't he?
So I was like, how much is a lager? He's like, 5.20. How much is a cider? £6. I was like, why did you just charge me £14 for those two?
Oh, did I? Oh. It feels like he's in the room, Dave. Fucking hell. But anyway, we did go to the gig, Lime Gone at the Social. Yeah, they've just announced their first headline tour, Dave, which is cool. So they're heading out, it's not till November, so you've got plenty of time, kids. They're playing 7 dates across the UK, Nottingham, Manchester, Edinburgh, Leeds, London, Brighton and Bristol. So yeah, all through just 7th till 17th of November, so 10 days in November. What a thing to look forward to, man. I do love that time of year, by the way. That's the best time of year.
Season.
That is prime. When you've kind of, you've recovered from festivals just about. Yeah. And you're like,
I was like, I think my gig season is sort of autumn, winter, going towards Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
It all builds up towards Christmas and then you stop.
Yeah, definitely, man. But what did you make of Lime Gone, Dave? I think that was your first time seeing them, right?
It was, yeah. They were really good. Very, like, bassy. But, yeah, they were a really good, like, jam band, kind of. It's like, that's a weird way to say it, but they're kind of like that. Like, quite bassy, quite sort of like, you know, the guitar's quite funky. But they're good. Like, I like they did like the little raffle in between, sort of keep like the crowd, like they interact with the crowd quite a lot, which is nice, because some bands, you know, they're a bit like one dimensional, a bit boring, but they like sort of keep people interested by like sort of just interacting with them.
Yeah, so. Just on the raffle, by the way, the there was definitely someone that won without a winning ticket, didn't they?
How do you mean?
Well, do you remember they were like whatever number it was, 200. And then the guy was like, I've got...
Because that was my number.
Oh, fucking hell. God damn. And he was like, I've got three less. And they were like, oh, you're the closest one. Here you go, here's a t-shirt.
Yeah, bullshit.
I should have been like, I'm 20 off. Can I have a t-shirt? Fucking disgrace. Fucking fuming, Dave. But yeah.
Have you slept a wink since?
I've been fucking wound up. Annabelle comes on here for a chat. She's handing out t-shirts. Willy dilly.
Didn't even bloody give me a t-shirt.
Fucking, I've had enough of it. But yeah, you're right. Because I spoke to, obviously, in this episode, spoke to Annabelle, and I said about the funk and the disco sound in their tunes. And I think I told you, actually. It's so, I have to find this out. One of the band's dads was in a disco group in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't actually say, and I stupidly didn't ask, but I need to find out and be like, mate, I need to listen to this band. But yeah, man, I think there's a big kind of resurgence of that sound coming, I think. Yeah. Kind of funk infused,
maybe a bit of Northern Soul
kind of it's, mate, I'm
just
all...
feel good. I think that's what people want to hear, don't they?
Yeah, do you reckon that's kind of a product of how shit the last couple of years have been?
People want to be uplifted by the music they listen to. Like, they, I think it's so true that I find myself sort of veering towards stuff that just makes me feel better when I listen to it. Like, music that challenges you and is like a bit like, oh god, it makes me feel a bit not great, but in a good way, weirdly, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's good, but I sometimes, like, you just, like, I just want to listen to, like, throwback 70s stuff that makes me feel really good, and it's a bit cheesy, but I don't care anymore.
Yeah, 100%. Man. I tell you what, this is completely off topic, but talking about listening to different artists and trying to branch out a bit, I did give, the other day, Black Midi a go, mate. I cannot get on with that. Fuck it, it's absurd. Like, that's just noise, man. I know I sound like a 50-year-old man.
You do.
So I'm like, bloody noise!
You sound like my dad listens
it's
to
just
it.
Noise, Dave! God. It's just noise! But I was listening, I was like, mate, this is a fucking racket. I sound like an old man, but I can't remember what tune it was, but it was all like...
Have they heard of a chorus of yours?
It was all offbeat and fucking horns in there that didn't need to be in there, that were all out of tune. I was like, what the fuck? And the annoying thing is, he's got a really good voice.
Yeah.
I'm like, mate, you're wasting a great voice on a fucking... I don't know what that is.
Well, mate, I think that's the whole point there.
But who sits... it's like these people... Like, I know we're an indie alternative podcast, but who the fuck wakes up and goes, do you know what, this morning I'll put on a bit of fucking drum and bass?
Yes?
It turns out I hate Dave's girlfriend.
Yeah. That's exactly what she listens to.
She doesn't put drum and bass on in the morning.
She probably would.
Wait, hold on. Hold on, Dave. Let's set the scene. In your nice little flat, you make a nice loving breakfast and she puts on a bit of drum and bass.
Nice bit of liquid.
90s garage for your scrambled eggs. Fuck's sake. I can't deal with it, man. You need a bit of soul in the morning. Am I wrong?
Well, no, you're not wrong, but you're not right as well. Everyone's got their individual tastes.
Dave, I'm right! There you go. But yes, anyway, look out on our socials. At Big Smoke Music Weekly on Instagram and at BS Music Weekly on Twitter. We'll be back shortly with another episode. But yeah, do catch up. Episode 1 and 2, Palace and Eads on Season 5. This has been Big Smoke Music Weekly. Thank you, Shun.
Love you.